Heavenly Father, we submit our hearts to you today. We ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, you show us things to come, you lead us into all truth by your Spirit. Lord, we ask that this morning be a time of blessing and learning from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're continuing on Overcoming Obstacles to Faith, Part 4 today. And we've been looking at various obstacles to our faith so that when we pray, when we step out in faith, we're going to get results. But of course, you know that there's an enemy in the world, and that enemy, the devil, wants to stop your faith, and he is very interested in putting obstacles in the way. And he's very interested in propagating those, making sure that they continue in not just the heathen's lives, Christians' lives. Those that don't know Christ, well, they haven't even got to the beginning because they haven't even gone through the door. But those who have gone through the door, who is Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the door, those that have gone through the door, have been born again, theirs should now be the walk of faith. By faith we walk, the Bible says, and we live by faith, and faith pleases God. And that's where the enemy will try to stop you, because if you can walk by faith and not be sight oriented all the time, or trying to work things out in your own understanding all the time, then he doesn't have a hope, because you're working on a completely different level to what he can work on. So the first obstacle we looked at was not walking in love. That includes forgiveness. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about how God is love, and that it should be a revelation in our heart that now we are to be people that operate in love, and even to the extent of loving our enemies. And so we are not to be people that have grudges. We're not to be people that have unforgiveness, and you know, it takes years to forgive people and that. No, we're to, by faith, forgive. By faith, let go of grudges. And in fact, do good to your enemies. Do good to them. So we looked at that in quite a lot of detail. The Bible says that the law of God is encapsulated in love. In other words, it's encompassed in that one word of love. And we're to be people that walk in love. Now, if you don't walk in love, it becomes an obstacle to your faith, becomes an obstacle to your getting results in your faith. The second obstacle we went through and talked about was disobeying the truth, and that we need to be people that obey the truth. And the Word of God is quite clear on that. Because if we disobey the truth, condemnation starts to come into our heart, because we know we've been doing the wrong thing. You know, if we've been telling lies, for example, and the Bible says lie not against the truth, then we're disobeying the truth. And that causes condemnation in your heart. And the Bible says that if you want to have confidence toward God, then your heart can't be condemning you. In other words, you've got to get yourself right. You've got to say, well, I submit myself to obeying your word, the truth. The Bible says, and we went through it quite, in quite a lot of detail in the book of James, that God's word is the perfect law of liberty. So for Christians, God's word is the law of God. And God's word is to be obeyed, and we are servants, and Jesus is the master. Okay, so we have to understand this. Where are we? What is our position? What are we doing on the earth? It's no use trying to do your own thing. Many are doing that. Many are thinking, oh, I don't need to go to church, and so on. They're in a rebellious position. They're in a position where they're not obeying God, and that puts them as a target for the enemy and causes all types of problems in their life, and also makes them so ineffective. They're not effective for God. The obstacle we're going to look at today is not operating in biblical hope. We'll look at that in more detail. But let's look at Galatians 5, verses 5 to 8, first of all. Galatians 5, verses 5 to 8. Now, this is such an important area, because if we don't walk in faith, if we don't address any obstacles to faith that might be in our lives, Or if we're aware of them, then we can make sure the obstacles don't come in. And that's very much one of the emphases that I'm talking about here, is to be aware of the obstacles that the devil might try to stop you. The Bible calls him the hinderer. Okay? He wants to hinder you. He wants to stop you. He doesn't want you to be effective in your witness. Galatians 5, looking from verses 5 to 8, says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So here we saw that faith works by love. Faith works by love. You love God, you love the brethren, you love your enemies, God is love. So all of your life must be, yes, I'm walking a walk of love, and my faith can then work. Praise the Lord. Now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God gave the greatest gift that could ever be, and that's his only begotten Son. And we need to, Christians should have a revelation of that, because 1 Peter calls Jesus precious. Precious. And his blood is called precious. So we should have a revelation of just how great the love of God is, and that he is love. So faith which worketh by love. And then we see in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" So is obeying the truth important in the eyes of God? This is written in the New Testament, by the way. So don't let anyone say to you, "Oh, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace, I don't have to do anything," sort of thing. That's their excuse. But as I said to you, the word of God is the perfect law of liberty, and you are required under God to obey the truth. And obeying the truth is running well. Do you want to run well for the Lord? I do. I think we all should say, "Yes, I want to run well for you, Lord, and I commit myself to obey the truth." But there is a hinderer. And that's why Paul says, "Who did hinder you?" There is a hinderer. And then he says in verse 8, "This persuasion," the persuasion not to obey the truth, "cometh not of him that calleth you." So God is calling people, and he's calling them to be servants, to obey the truth, to run well, to walk by faith, to not allow the enemy to have his way, but to allow God to have his way in your life. This is what God wants. So we see that this section of Scripture touches on all areas that we're looking at here, hope and love and obedience of the truth. And it also touches on unbelief, which is the fourth obstacle, which I'll do later on. But let's look at 1 John 5, verses 1 to 5. 1 John 5. You know, we are called people, as we just read then. We are called people. We're not called to live for ourselves. We're called to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the head of the body, isn't he? He's the head. We are part of the body of Christ. And he is building his church. So don't let anyone tell you, church isn't important. That's rubbish. The Bible says that he bought the church with his own blood. And his blood is precious. So the church must be precious too. So we have to be biblical. We have to be biblical people. 1 John 5 says, starting from verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat," in other words, God, because he begat you, "loveth him also that is begotten of him." That's all the children of God. So you should also love the children of God as well. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Well, this is in the New Testament. You love God, you keep his commandments. That's walking in the truth. That's obeying the truth. "For this is the love of God," verse 3, "that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." And that's important to know, that his commandments are not grievous. He hasn't put a great burden upon you. Why? Because when you were born again, your inner man was changed and given power. And now you can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So you're not relying on your own strength to keep the commandments of God. You should rely on Christ, who strengthens you. And doesn't the Bible say, be strong in the power of the Lord and his might? So we've got to be strong in him, not in our own strength. And that applies right through our life, including the keeping of his commandments. So his commandments are not grievous to us. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When you've been born again, born of God, you've been made into something, the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ. It's new. You're not of the old man anymore. You have a new man inside. You're no longer someone who is under the circumstances or defeated. You are now in the overcoming category. You're now a person who's born of God, and therefore God sees you as what? Defeated person? No, he sees you as an overcomer. As an overcomer. And that's the faith way. Now, you know, it may not look that way, but you say, I'm an overcomer. And by faith I stand. And I overcome in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus I overcome. And that's the way we've got to be. Because the world, we have to overcome the world, because the world, as I've mentioned before, sends a lot of obstacles your way. Sends snares your way, sends words not of wisdom but of foolishness your way, sends temptations your way, sends storms your way, sends the curse your way, etc., etc. So we have to be people that are overcomers, because we're not of the world, we're in the world, we're not of the world, we're of the kingdom of God, not of the kingdom of darkness. So we're overcomers. And yes, it might not be comfortable in this sin-ridden, cursed-filled world, but we are called of God to be overcomers and to overcome the world. Because the God, little g, of this world, he hates us. He doesn't love God. He doesn't love the church. He doesn't love you. In fact, you're on his hit list. Okay? But, and this is the big but, you're born of God. And if you're born of God, you're an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says, who is he that believeth the overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Praise the Lord. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you, he rose for you, that he lives in your heart, that he is the King, that he is the master, you are the servant. He's good to you. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He looks after his sheep. He's the good shepherd. You only have to read Psalm 23 to know his nature. Our cup runneth over, praise the Lord. So we've got to be people that are consistent in our beliefs. We take the word, we believe the word, and we act on the word. That's why we don't call ourselves defeated. We call ourselves victorious, because that's faith. That's faith. And it's not related to, oh, I see this, therefore I am defeated. No, no, no. The devil put all types of obstacles your way. You don't say it like that. You say, I don't care what I see. I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ, and God always causes me to triumph in Christ. This is the way. This is the way we must be. Praise the Lord. And of course, this then relates to biblical hope. And let's have a look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. Because the other great obstacle to faith is not having or not operating in biblical hope. And biblical hope is very different from the world's hope. And we'll see that, because the Bible says about Abraham that he hoped against hope. In other words, there were two types of hope. And we'll see a little bit more about that as we work through this. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1, you may have read this many times before, but it's got to be a revelation to you. You know, it's not just going in your physical ears, it's got to go into your inner man ears. It's not going just, when you're reading it, it's not just going into your physical eyes, it's got to go into your spirit man eyes, your inner man eyes. It's got to go into your spirit. And that's why we have to attend to God's word. You remember that scripture? Attend to my words. We've got to attend. In other words, pay attention to God's words. So let's pay attention to verse 1 of Hebrews 11 here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the evidence of things not seen with your physical eye. Okay? Because spiritual things don't start in the physical. They start in the spirit. And then they manifest in the physical. But what does faith do? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, biblical hope is getting a picture of who and what you are and what God wants and so on in your inner man. So you're looking at it with spiritual eyes. And so then, for example, you see yourself as an overcomer. You see yourself as going forward. You see yourself as growing in faith. You see yourself as a person of prayer, as a person of the word. But you've got to get that through the scripture. You see that God is your rock and your defense and your fortress. You get biblical hope on you on the inside, what happens? You start to talk it, don't you? You start to think about it constantly. You start to walk that way. And so when a storm comes your way, a storm of life, whatever it might be, you don't immediately start speak when that storm comes, you don't immediately start speaking unbelief and foolishness. You start speaking the word of God. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you've got a biblical hope on you on the inside. See, hope is a future thing. It's a blueprint. If I had a blueprint for a house, then I know what type of house I've got, don't I? You see what I'm saying? If I've got a blueprint for faith, then I know what my faith is going to produce. But you see, you've got to operate by faith, not by sight. You have that biblical hope on the inside, and so when you remember what Jesus said, you've got to build your house upon the rock, not on the sand. And the rock, Jesus said, is my sayings, my word. So his word is very foundational to the way we build our lives. And if we build our lives on sand, such as the words of men, the doctrines of men, for example, you know, evolutionary theory and this is the way to go and so on, you'll hear all of that type of thing. And people do build their lives on that, and they're shaken about all over the place. But you build your life on the word of God, it'll give you and paint within you and give a vision on the inside for you so that you can latch or build and have your faith to go forward as substance. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you go across to verse 30, we see an example of this. Verse 30, you remember the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So at the beginning of the 7 days, were the walls of Jericho fallen down? No, they weren't. But what Joshua did have was the word of God. And the word of God was, you march around the city 7 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to have the trumpets blown and you're going to shout a great shout and the walls will fall down. So he had the word of God right at the beginning, didn't he? And he could have said after the first day, oh, it's not working. And that's what the devil tries to get people to do, is to give up before they get the result. But obviously Joshua had on the inside of him a vision, didn't he? He saw in the spirit that the walls of Jericho are coming down. And so by faith, he was marching. And that's why it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. As far as Joshua was concerned, the walls of Jericho were down. And all he had to do was act on the word of God and just keep on doing that. And that's exactly what happened. And we could look at quite a few examples. We don't have time, but look at verse 32 to 34. We'll just look at this list here. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to talk of, to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith, notice what they do, through faith subdued kingdoms. And let me tell you about Geelong. Through faith, this city has to be subdued and preached to and taken over. This city at the moment is in the grips of the devil. Are we going to allow that to continue? We've got to have vision about it. And that's why there's got to be faith. Praise the Lord. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You might find some things there where you need to operate in faith. For example, obtained promises. There's many promises in the scripture. And by faith, you can obtain promises. We have to be people that wax valiant in fight, don't we? Fight the good fight of faith. And etc., etc., and so on. So it's through faith and painting that biblical picture of hope on the inside of you so that you know what the word says. You're a person of the word, and faith is going to give the substance to that you're believing. You're not believing just anything, are you? You're believing the word of God, and you're going forward on the basis of that word. You see, if I gave a blueprint of a house to a builder and said, build this, they know what has to be built. Okay? If you didn't give a blueprint and just said, go and build a house for me, it wouldn't be something that you had on the inside of you. It wouldn't be your house as such. It wouldn't be something that you've got a vision of. It's something different. So you've got to get on the inside of you. What does the Lord want? What does the Lord want? How does he want to do it? And so on. And that's why there's a continual emphasis on getting the word into our heart. And if you look at Romans 10, go back to Romans 10, and we'll look at verse 8. We've looked at this many times before, but it's important for us to look at. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, the word is nigh, very near to you. It's not far off. It's got to be in two places. It's got to be in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. That's what the word says here. And that's the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. And it'll produce. It'll produce. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It'll produce faith. And it'll produce results. But you've got to get that word of hope, that word of victory on the inside of you. And faith will be substance for you. The evidence of things not seen. Let's have a look at Psalm 119, verse 130. And some of us, not just here, but right across this city, those that are truly born again need to have this great revelation of the importance of the Word of God, and not just any old word, but the accurate, true Word of God, because God's Word is truth. In Psalm 119, verse 130, is a great key to how we get hope, biblical hope, on the inside of us. So what does the devil want to do? What do you think he'll try to do? He'll try to stop the entrance of God's word into your heart and into your mouth. Can you see his tactics? We're not ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. We shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. But I want you to know that he'll try to steal the word from you. He'll try to stop its entrance into your life. Okay, so be aware of his tactics. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in a minute. What does it say here in verse 130? The entrance of thy words giveth light. Okay, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So it's talking about two things there. The entrance of God's words gives light and it gives understanding. All right? You might say, well, I just don't know what to do. Get into the Word of God. Don't lean to your own understanding. Lean to God's way and God's Word, because then you'll get God's understanding about it. You know, a good thing to pray is, Lord, how do you see this? How do you see this? Please reveal this, or how you see it. So you're looking through his eyes about it. How do you see it? And guide me to the right things in your word. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Entrance into where? Into your heart and into your mouth. Okay? That's where the word has to be. The entrance of God's words giveth light. So predominantly, you get the word into your heart. Now, as I said, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He wants to stop that entrance. So what does he do? He puts all sorts of distractions into people's lives. Oh, I don't have time for that. You know, I've invited people to the outreach, and they come back with things like, oh, I don't have time, or I couldn't possibly go out of my house, or I'm afraid of this, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, or I'm not interested, etc. Nevertheless, God is at work. God's Spirit is leading and drawing people as Jesus is lifted up. Remember that. So don't despair. Don't despair at what people say or what the devil would say through people. Don't despair about that. In fact, don't even listen to that, as in don't even heed that. What you must heed is that the entrance of God's words giveth light. Gives light to you. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light to my path. So that's the way we've got to see it. That we're not walking in darkness. And as we speak the word, it's out of the abundance of our heart. So understand that the enemy is trying to stop the entrance of God's words. Okay? And he'll put distractions in your life. Try to stop you walking his way, the ways of God. See, God has a plan for your life, but do you know the enemy has a plan for your life as well? But it's not a good plan. It's a disastrous plan. He wants you down and out. He wants you taken out of the way. You know what you should be saying? You're saying, I live for Christ, and I go forward in Christ, and I'm growing up in Christ, and I'm hearing the word and obeying the truth and going forward, and I'm not going to let go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 133, look at that one. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Why not let any iniquity have dominion over you? What would that do? Would it stop you from walking according to God's word? Because it says, order my steps in thy word. So you can see that the walk of faith must be a walk of the word. It must be. Order my steps in thy word is so very important. So God's words gives light, and your steps are ordered in God's word. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on a bit further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4 Verse 18. I believe God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for this church. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on us individually or collectively as a church. In fact, I think he's got great plans for all of us. Very big plans. And one of the reasons I get up to preach is so that give you opportunity to hear the word of faith and get it into your heart. And say, well, I believe God's got plans for me too. Doesn't matter how young or old you are. God's got plans for you. You know, it's not until you're in heaven, you know, you're not off on the earth anymore. It's not until then that your mission here is finished. It's very important to see that. God's got plans for us all. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now notice the wording here. Verse 18 says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So we look at the things which are not seen. How do we do that? What's it saying? You look not at the things which are seen with your physical eyes, but you look at the things which are not seen with your physical eyes. How do you look at the things which are not seen with your physical eyes? You look at them with your inner man eyes, with your spiritual eyes. And you look at it through the Word of God, through the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that God is our fortress, for example. Now, I can't with my physical eyes see God as a fortress. Can you see what I'm saying? But with my inner man eyes, I see him as a fortress all around me. It's the same with you. Now, I can't with my physical eyes see angels. But I know with my inner man eyes, I can see through the Word of God. He gives his angels charge over me. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about me. That's what the scripture says. That I'm delivered from evil. And that's the way you've got to approach it. You don't say, well, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. That's not the way of faith. And do you know that when I've stood on the word in that way and say, well, I know that there's angels protecting me. God has done that in the past. I could go through numerous examples of that. There have been times when I've had near misses in accidents, and I know that an angel's done something there. You know, and many, many other examples we could go through. I'm just recalling a particularly scary example that happened as a very young Christian to me, but the Lord preserved me. And I won't go into detail here now, praise the Lord. So the entrance of God's words gives light, and it's spiritual light so that you can see the things that are not seen with your physical eyes. And it says there, for the things which are seen, that's seen with your physical eyes, are temporal. What does that mean? Temporary. They're going to pass away. You know? But the things which are not seen, that is not seen with the physical eyes, are eternal. How important is it to make sure that your spiritual sight is operating properly? And that's what biblical hope is all about. The Word of God gives you light, inner man light, spiritual sight. Now, there are Christians whose eyes are blinkered because they're always connected to the physical. They might pray a prayer, but the next minute they're saying and believing the opposite to what they pray because the devil has sent something and they believe that rather than what they've prayed. You pray prayers according to the Word of God and you don't have condemnation in your heart, then you'll have confidence towards God. Now, we looked at that in detail previously about that. So we have to have spiritual sight operating in our life, because if we only operate in the seen realm, then you're operating in the temporal realm. Things are changing all the time. All the time, things are changing. And you can't base your life on that. You've got to base your life on the eternal and look at that. And you look at it spiritually. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 18. I've got a couple of scriptures, a couple more scriptures I want to go through. Because the next time I preach on this, I want to look at obstacle 4, which is unbelief. So looking at Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says here, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, if you don't have a vision on the inside of you, painted by the word of God, you're going to perish. You're going to go the way of the world. And the world is perishing. How do we know that? Well, the scripture is very clear. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the world's going the way of perishing all the time. But we have to have a vision on the inside of us. And it's spiritual vision. Because we look not at the things that are seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the scripture says. So it's not saying you're walking blindly, is it? It's saying you're walking according to spiritual sight. Okay? But not physical sight. Because if you walk on the physical sight, you're going the way of the perishing. You're going away the temporal. And so, where is the devil operating? He's operating in the world. And the world's the way of the perishing. And the way of the temporal. And he'll try to get you off track. But to get the vision into your heart, you have to spend time in the Word of God. You cannot just say, oh, well, I'll get enough by coming and sitting in church and hearing a sermon. And that's good, because the word of faith which we preach is so very important. But it can't be just that. It means you've got to feed your heart continually. Continually. Every day. And I know I've said this over and over in this church, but I'll continue to say it. You have many, many opportunities, particularly with today's technology, to get the word into your heart. My goodness, if anyone couldn't put a CD into their car of a preacher, there's something wrong. Well, they couldn't put a CD on at home or watch a DVD of a Christian preacher, there's something wrong. Couldn't open the Bible, there's something wrong. You know, obstacles are not sent by God. Remember that. Obstacles are sent by the enemy. Because God wants you to walk by faith. God wants you to look at things by faith and to operate by faith. He wants you to have a vision. He wants you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And I just want to finish with Romans 4, verses 16 to 18. And this is the great example of faith, which is Abraham himself. Romans 4, 16 to 18. Now remember the promise that was given to Abraham. He was initially called Abram, and then God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Remember that, Abraham, his faith, is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice God calleth those things which be not as though they were. He, God's not sight bound, neither should we be. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. So, you know, worldly hope might say, I hope so. But there's doubt in that, isn't there? Whereas biblical hope says, it's in the future, but I know what God has said, and I have that hope based on what God has said. And notice what it says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So was his hope and faith based on the word? Of course it was. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, he had a word, and you probably remember how he used Sarah's maid, this is Abraham, to try to make that word come to pass, and it really went wrong. But eventually he got on track, and Isaac was the result. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that sometimes we have to hope against hope. Against hope, we believe in hope. We believe in biblical hope. Okay? Biblical hope. And biblical hope is where you get faith substance from. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your victory in our lives. We are overcomers. We are overcomers and we stand in faith. And I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the people of God here. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives and you're continuing to do. Lord, I pray that you show each and every one of us that if there are obstacles that we need to address and that we've heard being preached and we need to address, I ask that this be done. That every one of us would take the right steps to go forward in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. You are our helper. We praise you, Lord, for your blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which gives us hope, gives us light, gives us understanding. We thank you for that, Lord. Praise you in Jesus' name. The Spirit's given a word to you, then give that out to the people. The Lord says, for I have a plan for my people. I have a plan for my people that I have had right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. We bless you, Lord. We trust in you. In Jesus' name.